The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Masechet Rosh Hashanah has been sponsored by Mr. Sawley and Cheryl Mizrahi. Hashem Aleihem Yihyu for the Hatzlacha of both of their families, for Be'ezat Hashem, health, happiness, Parnasa, continued success, and of course, much nachat and pleasure from their children. Yiratzon, in the zechut of their dedication to the Masechet Rosh Hashanah, they will be zoche for good judgment, they will be zoche for good beracha and mazal in all their endeavors. Amen. Daf Tet Zayin. Today's daf is being studied, the Refuah Shelema, Eliyahu Hayim ben Shafia Sofia. Enna refanalo, enna refanalo, enna refanalo. Fata nefesh ufata guf ufuato kero balabo vechen yirasom v'nomar. Amen. Today's daf is being studied the Elu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tanihenu began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Tet Zayin on the Mishnah on the top line. And the Mishnah says, Be'arba'a pirakim ha'olam nidon. There are four times a year that the world is judged. Be'pesach, on Pesach, ala tevuah. The world is judged regarding the wheat. Ba'atzeret, on Shavuot, al perot ha'ilan. The world is judged regarding the fruit supply. Berosh Hashanah, which is Alif Tishri, kol ba'e olam ovrim lefanav kivne marom. All the people of the world pass in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like bene maron. We will wait for the Gemara to explain that terminology, bene maron. Shene emar, and this is based on a pasuk, ha-yotzer yachad libam, the one that creates together their hearts, hamevin el kol ma'asehem, the one that understands all their deeds. Again, we will wait for the Gemara to explain the relevance of this pasuk. Ubehag, and on Sukkot nidunin alamayim, the world is judged regarding the water. So let's review the four times a year. You have Pesach, that's when the world is judged regarding wheat. Shavuot is fruit. Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishri, is human beings are judged for their deeds. And on Sukkot, the world is judged for water. The top Tosafot raises a question. Tosafot quotes the Gemara in Berachot on Daf Yudchet, the story over there of a Hasid, that his wife was needling him, and it was Erev Rosh Hashanah, and that night he left the house and he went, he slept in the cemetery. And he heard spirits talking to each other, and he heard that they were discussing that anybody that plants in the first quarter of the year, the first rainy season of the year, there's going to be damage to it. And therefore he knew exactly not to plant. He knew exactly when to plant his crops. It's mashma that the judgment for wheat was decided on Rosh Hashanah. So Tosfot says, what do you mean from here it's mashma, the judgment is on Pesach. But over there it's mashma was on Rosh Hashanah, because they were discussing exactly what's going to be. So Tosfot says one answer, Veshemme bashamayim berosh Hashanah yu maskirin din anigzar bepesach. Could be that on that Rosh Hashanah they were discussing the judgment that was made on the previous Pesach. So really the wheat was judged on Pesach, but he heard them discussing it on Rosh Hashanah. In a met, Tosfot offers another answer. Can it be Yehuda the Amara kol nidunim berosh Hashanah v'gzardin bepesach ala tevuah? Could be his following opinion that says really everything is judged on Rosh Hashanah, even the wheat. However, the final judgment is not until Pesach. So there's a difference between the initial judgment and final judgment. So it could be our Mishnah saying that the initial judgment is on Pesach, but the final judgment is on Rosh Hashanah. And that's what that fellow in Hasid heard in the cemetery that night. In any event, comes the Gemara and says, hey, Tebuah, which wheat? When you tell me on Pesach, the world is being judged for its wheat, which wheat? Ilema ha tebuah de kaima. If you're telling me that all the wheat that's in the field already, or the wheat that has grown already, and is in the field, and it's just being prepared, you're waiting to cut it. So it's that wheat that's judged. So the Gemara says, "Kol hani harfatke," all the events da'adu ala that happened to this wheat until that point. Emat iddun, when was it judged? Which means all the stuff that happened before the wheat reached this stage. Which is, you're only telling me that on Pesach they're judging what's going to be with the wheat from when it's finished, or almost finished its growth, until the cutting. The wheat that's in the field is being judged. Yeah, but all the stuff that happened to that wheat before it got to that stage, when was it judged? So the Gemara says, fine. Ela tivu'ah dimizdara'a. The judgment on Pesach is for the future wheat that is going to be planted. Which means they used to plant the wheat in Heshvan. So on Pesach, they're already judging the future crop. I mean, the crop is not going to be planted until Heshvan. So the judgment is on Pesach. So you're getting it from the beginning. From the beginning of the planting already is judged from the Pesach before. Then the Gemara asks on that, Lememra, you mean to say, the Hadinam Middina, that the wheat is only judged once, there's only one judgment for every crop. That Tanya, we have a Braita, Tivu'ah, you have wheat, She'ira ba keri o onis, which means a mikre happened, an event. Whenever the Gemara used the word keri, it means an event that was minashamayim. Something happened minashamayim, for example, blithe, or wind blast, something like that, that's from God, act of God, that affects the wheat, or onis. Onis is something that is done by human beings. For example, let's say an army came and trampled the wheat. That's the way the Bach understands. So therefore, again, tivuah, you have wheat, she'ira bakeri, something, an act of God happened to it, or onis, or an act of man. Kodem ha-Pesach, if it happened before Pesach, nidonit le-she'avar, then we say that that event was judged on the previous Pesach. Le'ahara Pesach, but if the event happened after Pesach, nidonit le-haba. So then we say it happened on the Pesach right before. So which means, if let's say something happened to the wheat, a keri or an onus, act of God or act of human being, something happened to destroy the wheat. So let's say it's right before Pesach. Let's give an example. It happens in Adar, right, a month before Pesach. So we say that that thing that happened to the wheat really was judged a year before, the Pesach before. Now, let's say that happened right after Pesach. For example, Pesach's 15th of Nisan, in the beginning of Iyar, this happened. So then we say the judgment was right, the Pesach right before, meaning a month before. So what do you see in this Braita? That there are different stages that the wheat is judged. Stuff that happens right after, stuff that happens before the coming Pesach is actually judged to the Pesach before. Stuff that happens after the Pesach is judged to the previous Pesach, which means the Pesach which was just a few months before. So comes the, and the Braita continues. Adam, similarly, a human being, a person, she'ira bo keri o onis, and an event happened, an act of God happened to him. For example, something got sick, or all this, or an act of human beings, something that happened to him. Kodem yom kippurim, if it happens to him before Kippur, let's say it happens to him in Elul, something happens to the guy, nidon the sha'avar. Then already you should know that was judged from last Kippur. La'achar yom kippurim, if something happens right after Kippur, nidon lehaba. That means it happened on the close Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur that just passed. So you see what? Again, there's two judgments for the wheat. There's the judgment that happens from the Pesach, the previous Pesach, a year before, or the closer Pesach that just passed. So how can you tell me it's only one judgment? So Amar Abba, Shma'amina, Tre, Dine, Middanya. Really, there are two times of judgment. The first judgment is on the first Pesach, for what's going to happen until the next Pesach. And then on Pesach again, there is another judgment, what's going to happen to the wheat at that point. So there are indeed two judgments. Amar Abaye. So Abaye comes along and says, actually the Bach adds the word, Tre dine middana shata. The wheat is judged twice
a year. Amar Rabbi Yabaye says Hilkach ki hazi inish de matzlah zara afla. So now a person is going to plant, and he sees that he's having success on the afla. What is the afla? That she says the wheat or the spelt. Now these items are planted in Heshvan, and they're a late crop. They really don't grow that fast. So if a person plants in Heshvan the wheat and the spelt, and what, he sees that it's successful, he sees that it's growing nicely, he sees that it's ripening quickly, likdim vilizra harfa. So he should preempt, he should go quickly and plant the harfa, the crop that ripens earlier, which means the wheat, the barley, for example, ripens very quickly. And therefore they plant it usually later in the season, because it ripens very fast. They plant it usually in Shvat or Adar. So the point is that once already you see that the crop that you planted early is successful, so that's an indication that you know that the judgment for the crop that year in Shamayim must have been a good judgment. So therefore, the Gemara says, if you see the wheat crop that you planted early succeed, right away go plant the barley, because you want to get in to that good judgment. By the time the wheat gets judged again, the next Pesach, already it'll be grown already. So therefore, basically they're telling you, now you could play the judgment. And now that you know, let's say that you're judged on the first Pesach. Good. So now, the following Heshvan, you start to plant your wheat, and you start seeing you're having a lot of success. So that's an indication that on the previous Pesach, there was a good judgment for the wheat. So therefore they're telling you, plant right away the barley as well, because you want it to grow. Because by the time it grows, you'll have success, obviously, because you were judged good on that last Pesach. By the time the next Pesach comes along, so already the judgment, the wheat and the barley will be grown already, so therefore you're really riding the good judgment of the previous Pesach. So they're just telling you, if you see the wheat succeed, right away go and plant barley as well, so you'll have success. So you'll know you'll have success with that as well. But as she says, ki haze inish de matzlach zara afla chita v'kusemet, the wheat and the spelt, shenizra'im v'mer hajvan, they planted in hajvan, she'en v'marim netbashir, they don't ripen that fast, nikdim v'nizra harfa, ha-se'ora, go right away and plant the barley, memaheret netbashir, it ripens quickly, v'zura'im ota b'shvat v'adar, they usually planted in shvat v'adar, dekevan de afla matzlach, since the early crop is succeeding, Shma mina letovah nidon bePesach Shavar. Must be you got a good judgment on the previous Pesach. Lefik yimaed lizroa. So right away, quickly plant birbi'ah shni'ah in the second season of rain, in order to add the matel medina bePesach Abba. So before the judgment of the next Pesach comes, kadim v'sadik v'gadal ksat. Once already it starts to grow, the odds are it's not going to get destroyed. Usually the wheat that's not grown yet, or the barley that doesn't grow yet, has a bigger chance to be destroyed. So therefore you want it to get it to be partly grown before the next judgment, in order that you can take advantage and have success. Comes again and says, Mani Matnitin, who's the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Meir, velo Rabbi Yehuda, velo Rabbi Yosef, velo Rabbi Natan. Neither of any of these rabbis. Why? The Tanya, we have a Braita. The Braita is going to tell us the different times of judgment according to the different rabbis. The first opinion, Hakon Yidunim beRosh Hashanah. Everything and everybody is judged on Rosh Hashanah. V'gzar din shelahem nechtam biYom Kippurim. And the final judgment is sealed on Yom Kippur. Devrei Rabbi Meir. So obviously that's not our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said Pesach is for Tevuah, Shavuot is for Perot, Hag, Sukkot is for water. Here the Bimi says, no, everything is judged on Rosh Hashanah, and everything is sealed on Yom Kippur. Next opinion, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Nidonim beRosh Hashanah, V'Gzar Din Shelahem Nechtam Kol Echad VeEchad B'Zmano. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, everything is judged initially on Rosh Hashanah, but the final judgment is not made until each respective time. BePesach ala tevuah, Pesach is the wheat. Atzeret ala perot ha'ilan, Shavuot is the fruit. BeChag nidonin ala mayim, on Sukkot the judgment is for water. VeAdam nidon beRosh Hashanah, and man is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Ugzardin shelo nechtam biYom Kippurim, and his final judgment is Kippur. So again, he cannot be the author of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that man is judged on Rosh Hashanah does not tell us about the Gzardin of Yom Kippur. So therefore, he cannot be the author. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Adam Nidon Bechol Yom. Rabbi Yosef says, man is judged every single day. Shne'emar v'tefkedenu lebekarim. So pasuk in Iyov, that God remembers us, so to speak, in judgment, lebekarim, every boker, every morning. Rabbi Natan Omer, Adam Nidon Bechol Sha'ah. Rabbi Natan says, man is actually judged every hour, every moment. Shne'emar, the same pasuk in Iyov, lirga'im tebahanenu, that he is judged every moment. So therefore you see none of these Tanaim could be the author of our Mishnah. So the Gemara gives an option. Maybe I'll tell you that the author is really Rabbi Yehuda. And maybe you'll explain that our Mishnah was discussing the final judgment, because he said the Biuda, everything is judged on Rosh Hashanah, but the final judgment, Pesach is wheat, Shavuot is fruit, Sukkot is water. So maybe I can tell you that our Mishnah is following the Biuda, and we were discussing final judgment, Gzardin. Gemara says it doesn't work. Iacher Kashya Adam. Because you see, he said Adam is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Now that's not final judgment. If the Mishnah was talking about final judgment, it should have said by Adam Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is the final judgment according to Rabbi Yehuda. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rava, Hai Tana Debe Rabbi Ishmaeli. Our Mishnah is following Rabbi Ishmael's opinion. Detana Debe Rabbi Ishmael. We have a Braita from Rabbi Ishmael. Barba'a Perakim Ma'olam Nidon. The world is judged four times. Bepesach Ala Tevu'ah. בעצרת על פירות האילן, בחג נידונין על המים, ואדם נידון בראש השנה, וגזר דין שלו נחתם ביום הכיפורים. And his final judgment is on Yom Kippur. וכי קטני מתניתין, and that which our Mishnah was discussing, התחילת דין. So our Mishnah was actually discussing initial judgment, which means it was discussing Pesach, which the world is initially judged for the wheat, and Shavuot is for the perot, and for Chag is the water, and Adam is Rosh Hashanah, and the Gzardin Shelo is on Yom Kippur. So our Mishnah was discussing Tehillat Din, but the Gzardin of Adam is really on Yom Kippur. So therefore, we can say the Mishnah is following Rabbi Ishmael. Again, that says the world is judged on Pesach for Tevuah, Atzeret for Perot Ilan, Perot Ilan, Chag is for water. Good, that's exactly what our Mishnah said. And Adam is judged on Rosh Hashanah, and his Gzardin, his final judgment is Kippur. And I can say that our Mishnah was discussing Tehillat Din, and therefore it said Rosh Hashanah, but in Inuk and Amed is a final judgment on Yom Kippur. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar of Chazda, Mai Ta'amad Rabbi Yosef. What's the reason of Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Yosef says, man is judged every day. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Kedekamar Ta'amah. We explained his reason. It says in the pasuk, "V'tefkedenu lebekarim," that God judges the person, remembers the person every morning. This is what we meant to say. What's the reason why he didn't say like Rabbi Natan that says man is judged every moment? The Gemara says because bechina iyune be'almai, because he learns that pasuk when it says lirga'im tebahanenu. That doesn't mean that God judges a person. The word tebachanenu just means he scrutinizes a person, but not that he judges him every day. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, pekidana meh. The word vatifkedenu lebekarim, the word pekidah also, eyune ba'almahi. It only means he scrutinizes, but not that he judges. So we're back to the question. Rabbi Yosef, what's your proof that God judges you every day? Elam arav chazda, ta'amed Rabbi Yosef mehacha. The reason of Rabbi Yosef is from here. It says, La'asot mishpat abdo u'mishpat amo Yisrael devar yom biyomo. The pasuk says that God does mishpat for his nation Israel devar yom biyomo on a daily basis. So that's how he knows that God judges Am Yisrael, the people. Man is judged every day. V'amar HaFazda continues, Melech v'sibur. If you have a king and the nation. Melech nechnas tekhila ladin. The king enters first into judgment. Shene'emar la'asot mishpat abdo. First, God does the judgment of His servant, meaning the king, u'mishpat amo Yisrael, and then He judges the nation. So the king goes in first. So the Gemara says, "My ta'ama, what's the reason? It's not derech eretz to make the king wait. The king has to sit outside and wait before the people go ahead of him. Wouldn't be derech eretz. So one reason why the king goes first is derech eretz. Before the anger becomes multiplied, which means if the sibud goes in first, so God now gets angry at the people because now he sees all the sins. So now the midat hadin is working. Now when the king comes in, he's going to take the wrath of God and they're going to blame everything on him. He's going to get punished. So to save the king, so God lets the king get judged first when there's still the hamim and then the rest of the people. So mekamed lefush before haron af is abundant. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar of Yosef, Keman matzlina na'idana aketzire ve'amiri'ay. Today, who do we rely on to pray for ketzire, for sick people, and miri'ay? Miri'ay are the tamidei hachamim that because of their learning become weak. So there was a confidence to pray for the tamidei hachamim that should have strength. So who do we pray? We pray for these people every day. Who are we relying on to pray every day? So the Gemara says, Keman k'Rabbi Yosef. It's got to be like Rabbi Yosef. Because Rabbi Yosef is the only one that says we're judged every single day. So since there's a new judgment every day, you could pray for a sick person to get not to get sick or to get better. Or you could pray for the Tamid HaChamim. But according to the other opinions that say the judgment is Rosh Hashanah, finished, everything is signed, sealed, and done by Yom Hashanah or Kippur. So what are you praying for these people every day? So therefore, the only opinion that you could say that we're relying, that we're praying for people who are sick and we're praying for Tamid HaChamim, it can only be Rabbi Yosef that says it's a daily judgment. Gemara then says, or we can say le'olam kerabbanan. We can even say it's going like the opinion of the rabbis that say the judgment is on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Also, I can just pray every day. Everything is sealed already. No, ukhtarabi Yitzhak. Dabarabi Yitzhak. Yafet se'aka le'adam. It's good for a person to pray ben kodim gzardin, before the final judgment, ben nahar gzardin, for that matter, even after the judgment. So therefore, even the Hachamim agree that even though it's sealed on Yom Kippur, there is ability to pray after the judgment in order to overturn it. So therefore, we rely on that opinion. Now, the Tosafot comes along and says, according to the first answer of the Gemara, the first answer is, we're only praying for the Biyoseh. According to Rabbi Yosef. Because Rabbi Yosef says we're judged every day, so we're praying only according to that opinion. So he says, what do you mean? According to the first answer of the Gemara, Hachamim would hold, you don't pray? What do you mean? We have a text of the Amidah, Tosfot says. Don't we say every day in the Amidah, Refa'enu, Barich Aleinu? They didn't hold that we have a text of the Amidah that we pray every single day? So the Rabbeinu Tam says a big chiddush. Tosfot wants to say like this, that on Rosh Hashanah, according to the rabbis, a person is judged, let's say, that he's going to be sick. But they don't judge how long he's going to be sick for, when he's going to get healthy. So therefore, according to Hachamim, of course there's a purpose for the Amidah. When we say the Fa'enu, yeah, we were judged on Rosh Hashanah already that he's going to get sick. That you can't change according to them. But you can decide through your prayers how long you're going to be sick for. That was not determined. Whereas according to the Biyoseh, you're even allowed to pray that he shouldn't get sick. Because since it's a daily judgment, you can even pray that you shouldn't get sick in the first place. So that's the way Rabbeinu Tam understands. Furthermore, for example, you're praying for Parnassah. What do you mean, the Parnassah or the rain? The rain was decided already. This is correct. But let's say God decided to bring a certain amount of rain. You're praying that that certain amount of rain should be brought at the proper time, where it'll be most beneficial. Whereas according to the Biyoseh, you can pray for the rain initially, because he holds you're being judged every day. So therefore, even according to the Hachamim, in the first answer of the Gemara, there is a purpose to pray the Amidah, because you can decide when the person will get better through your tefillah, affected, and exactly when the rains will come. And some want to say, the second answer of Tosafot is, we pray in plurality, because we're really praying for the Sibur. We're praying for the Sibur. Efa'enu, barichalenu. So he wants to say that when it comes to the Sibur, you can even break their Gezar Din that was on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. So therefore, according to the first answer, there is a purpose to pray the Amidah according to the Hakamim, because for Sibur, the Gezar Din can be broken. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ta'ama Rabbi Yehuda. Mishum Rabbi Akiva. Mepnema Amra Torah. Haviyu Omer Bepesach. What's the reason why God commanded the people to bring the Korban HaOmer, which is the first wheat that grows? We have to bring it as a korban on the second day of Pesach. What's the reason for that? Because since Pesach is the time that we're being judged for wheat, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Havi ulefanai Omer b'Pesach, bring in front of me Omer on Pesach, kedesh tetparech lachem tevuah shebasadot, so I can bless the wheat that's in the field. As if God tells us on Pesach, do a mitzvah with the wheat in order that I can give it a good judgment. What's the reason why we have to bring the two loaves of bread on Shavuot? Because Shavuot is the time of the fruit, that the fruit are on the tree. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, aviyu lefanai shtei alechem b'chatzeret, bring for me the two loaves on Shavuot, kedei shiyitbarechu lachem perot ha'ilan, in order that I can bless the fruit from the tree. So what's the connection between shtei alechem and the fruit? Because according to halacha, the law is that one cannot eat from the fruit of Bikurim, the new fruit, until he brings shtei alechem. So therefore, you bring the shtei alechem to allow to eat the Bikurim. Like the Pasuk says, and as she quotes, Bikure Ketzir Chitim, that the Bikurim are eaten at the time of Ketzir Chitim, which is Shavuot. So therefore, bring this down there, and if you have a good judgment on the fruit. And as she says, that this is following the opinion as well of Rabbi Yehuda that holds that the fruit that Adam HaRishon ate in Gan Eden from the tree that he wasn't allowed to was Chita, which means Chita used to be called a fruit. So therefore, when we bring the Shtei Alechem, that's considered like a peri, and therefore it atones for, or it's a good judgment, brings a good judgment for the fruit of the coming year. And what's the reason why God said that you pour water on the Mizbeach on Sukkot, the Mizbeach Nisukha Mayim? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nasechu lefanai mayim behag, pour for me water on Sukkot, kedesh yitbarechu lachem gishmei shana. Again, so you'll have a blessing with the rains of the year. The Ave Emru lefanai berosh Hashana, and on Rosh Hashana, so you'll have a good judgment. God says, say in front of me malchuyot, say in front of you the pesukim, the Amidah, that refer to God's kingdom, zichronot, the pesukim that talk how God remembers all the deeds of men, veshofarot, shofarot, and say the pesukim as well that talk about the blowing of the shofar. So the Gemara explains, malchuyot, the reason why you say malchuyot, these pesukim are in the musaf, the reason why you say the malchuyot pesukim, kedesh shetamlichuni alechem, in order that you'll make me king over you. Zichronot, the pesukim of Zichronot, kedesh shi'ale zichronchem nefanai letova. So I will remember you, God says, for the good. Which means when you read these pesukim that talk about how God remembers everybody, so that'll cause God to remember you. Ubameh, and how do you accomplish this? Bashofar, which means both these sections of the Amidah, Malchuyot and Zichronot, as well as the Shofarot Pasuk, should be accompanied with Shofar. Which means we blow the Shofar at each interval of the Amidah, in order that what? That God will hear the Malchuyot, the Shofar, the Zichronot Pasukim, and the Shofarot. So it's almost as if the Shofar is the delivery. That brings the Tefillot up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, Ubameh b'Shofar, how should you say these Pasukim? You should accompany it with the blowing of the Shofar. Amar Rabbi Abu, Lama Tukhin Bashofar Shel Ayin. Why do we blow on Rosh Hashanah with the shofar of a ram? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so God says, Tik'u lefanai Bashofar Shel Ayin. God says, I want you to blow a shofar of a ram specifically, Kedesh She'ezkor Lachem Akedat Yitzhak Ben Abraham. So I can remember the Akedah of Yitzhak, the son of Abraham. Uma'aleani alechem, and I will consider it, kilu akadtem atzmechem nefanai, as if you yourself did the Akedah, that you bound yourself to the Mizbeach and sacrificed yourself. So therefore, we have the Zichut. So the Mefarshim ask over here, why does it have to say, I'll remember the Akedah of Yitzhak ben Avraham? We know Yitzhak, what do you mean Yitzhak ben Avraham? So the Mefarshim say, because there's two Zichuyot over here. There's the Zichut of Yitzhak, that he was the Ne'ikad, and there's the Zichut of Avraham, he was the Oked, which means there's two tests over here. The fact that Yitzhak was willing to go on the Mizbeah, and the fact that Avraham was willing to sacrifice his son. So therefore you get both benefits. God remembers Yitzhak ben Avraham, the Yitzhak factor of the Akedah, the Avraham factor. And therefore God considers as if we were sacrificing ourselves on the Mizbeah. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, we have another statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. Lama tuk'im bi Rosh Hashanah? Why do we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara, what do you mean? Lama tuk'im? Why do we blow the shofar? Lachmana Amar tuk'u. When God says to blow the shofar, what kind of question is that? Ela lama miri'in. Now why do we blow the tiru'ah sound? Miri'in? Why do we blow the tiru'ah sound? Lachmana Amar zikron tiru'ah. The Torah says zikron tiru'ah. You have to blow the tiru'ah sound. What kind of question is that? Ela, the question is like this. Lama tuk'inu miri'in kishem yoshvin? Why do we blow some sounds while we're sitting, and then we blow some sounds when we're standing? Which means, as we know, our custom is that the first 30 sounds of the shofar we blow, and our custom, for example, is we blow them in a sitting position, and then we blow the main tikiot of Rosh Hashanah, which are in the Amidah of Musaf, that we do in a standing position. So the Yitzchak wants to know, what's the reason why we blow some of the tikiot sitting, and then some of them standing, which means the main tikiot are really the ones in Musaf, the ones that we do standing in the Amidah. So why would we accompany with also the ones that are sitting? What's the purpose? Some sitting, some standing. So the Gemara answers, in order to confuse the Satan. Now how does that confuse the Satan? So that she says, because by blowing the shofar in a sitting position and standing position shows how much we love the mitzvot. That we want to blow the shofar in all positions, in all ways to fulfill the mitzvah. It shows how much we love the mitzvot. And the fact that we love the mitzvot, that causes the Satan, his words to be silenced. She's chibub mitzvah. That's the way that she says. She, top line in Nashi, shelo yastin kishi yishma Yisrael mechabibin et ha-mitzvot. When he hears that Yisrael loved the mitzvot so much that they do him standing and sitting, mistatemin devarav, his word becomes silenced. That a Tosfot over here has a different interpretation that he quotes from the Aruch from the Yerushalmi. Let's look at the second Tosfot on the page. It says in the Pasuk, Tosfot quotes, Bila amavet lanetzach. There's going to come a day where death is going to be swallowed forever. There's not going to be any more death. Uktiv, Vaya bayomo yitaka b'shofar gadol. And on that day, that's when the Mashiach comes, they're going to blow the big shofar. And what do you mean death is going to be destroyed? God's going to kill the Satan when Mashiach comes. So it says, Kalshama, Kalshipura, Zimna Chada, when the Satan hears the shofar the first time on Rosh Hashanah, Bahil v'lo Bahil. He gets a little confused. When he hears it the second time, Amar Vadai Zeu Shipuradi Itaka B'Shofar Gadol. Says, for sure, this is the shofar of Mashiach. And what is he worried? Umata Zimna Limitbela. He thinks he's now going to get swallowed. Because at the time of the Mashiach, the death is going to be destroyed, meaning the Satan is going to be killed. And he gets all flustered. He has no time to speak prosecution against the Jewish people. So again, the blowing of the shofar two times, standing and sitting, according to this, causes the Satan to think that it is the shofar of Mashiach, and therefore he's too busy trying to save himself, and therefore he does not mikatreg against Klal Yisrael. We continue on the second line of the Gemara. Amar Yitzchak, Kol Shana She'en Tukhin La Betchilata, any year that they don't blow the shofar in the beginning of the year, meaning on Rosh Hashanah, Miriam La Besofa, Nachas V'Shalom, at the end of the year is bad. My Ta'amad Delo Erbeb Satan, because the Satan wasn't confused. So therefore, for whatever reason, the shofar wasn't blown. That Tosfot says, "Mefarish b'alchot gedot lav de miklav b'shabeta ela de etyalid unsa." Which is not talking about a case where Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbat. There, the rabbis told us don't blow the shofar, so therefore we don't have to worry. But talking about another reason, for example, the shofar was not blown, so therefore that we should be concerned that if the shofar wasn't blown for another reason, so then we have to be concerned that the Satan wasn't confused. Now, according to what we just learned, it could mean that even if you blew the shofar, but you didn't blow it standing and sitting, that's also going to be a problem. Because bottom line, the irbub of the satan comes from the fact that we blow the shofar sitting and then standing. So if that wasn't done, so even though you blew the shofar, so therefore one has to be concerned how the end of the year is going to turn out. Rabbi Yitzchak continues with his statements. Any year that a person acts like a poor man in the beginning of the year, which means B'nai Yisrael pray to God on Rosh Hashanah in a very subjugated way, in a humble way, that they pray like the Pasuk says, Tahanunim yedaber rash, that they speak in supplication, which means they humble themselves in the beginning, so that at the end they're going to be rich, which at the end of the year is going to be a beracha. So again, Kol Shana Shirasha B'tchilata, that the Jewish people act like poor people in their prayers in the beginning of the year, Mitasheret Besofa. There's going to be success at the end. Shana Emar, Mereshit Hashana. It says from the beginning of the year. But if you look at the way the word Reshit is spelled, it's spelled without an Aleph. Normally Reshit is spelled Resh Aleph, Shin Yud Taf. But it's spelled Merashit Ketiv, which means if in the beginning of the year you act like a Rash, Merashit Hashana, that you're like a poor man, Ve'ad Acharit. Then at the end, Sofa Sheyesh La'Acharit, you're going to have a good ending, which is the end of the year is going to end up fine. So Merashit Hashana, if the beginning of the year is person is humble, then Adaharit Shana, yes, anticipate towards the end of the year. Vama Rabbi Yitzchak, we continue the statements of Rabbi Yitzchak. And Danin et Adam Ela Lefi Ma'asav Shel Ota Sha'ah, that a person is only judged according to the deeds of that moment. God judges a person what he is at that moment. Like the Pasuk says, Ki Shama Elohim El Kol Ana'ad, that God heard the voice of the Led Ba'asher Usham, the way he was there. Now this story is talking about when Yishmael was thrown out of the house of Avraham Abinu, him and Hagar. So they were in the field, and now Yishmael was dying of dehydration. He had nothing to drink. So the angels wanted to kill Yishmael. So God wanted to save Yishmael, because Yishmael was praying to him. So the angels came to God and said, what do you mean, Borei Olam? You're going to keep Yishmael alive? His descendants in the future, one day, are going to not supply the Jewish people with water when they're going to be thirsty. Like the Navi tells us the story that when we're going through Galut, we passed by the Arabian nations, and instead of giving us water to drink, they gave us empty jugs filled with hot air and salty water. So God says, the one that his descendants are not going to supply us with water, you're going to give him water? So God says, I don't judge a person for what he's going to do in the future, what his descendants are going to do in the future. I judge a person what he is now. Now Yishmael is a Sadiq, Ba'asher Usham. Therefore, God saved his life. So from here, you see that God judges the person on Rosh Hashanah for what he is on that day. And he's penitent, and he has true intent. V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak says, Gimel devarim mazkirim avonotav shel Adam. There are three things if a person involves himself in, it reminds God of his sins. Which means it causes God to open the book of accounting, and therefore to be judged. Chas v'shalom. Elohen kir natui. We have a wall that is a dilapidated wall, so to speak. It's leaning, actually. It's a leaning wall. Which means when a person walks by a leaning wall, so now God has to make a miracle that the wall doesn't fall on him. So he has to have a zechut. So that causes God to open up the books and see, is the guy worthy for me to make a miracle that the wall shouldn't fall on him? So you're putting yourself in a dangerous position. So therefore, that's a time of judgment. So you shouldn't do that. The ayun tefillah. Ayun tefillah means a person prays tefillah with kavanah, and after he finishes the prayer, he says, you know what? I deserve to be answered. My prayer was really a good prayer. So God says, oh really? Your prayer was really a good prayer? You deserve to be answered? Let me open the books and see if you deserve to be answered. So that awakens judgment as well. Umoser din al havero. That's a person that does not want to take his friend to bet din, because he has a problem with his friend, let's say. And instead he says, God will judge him. That's Moser din al havero. So then already he says, you're getting me to be the judge? Well, let me see you first. Are you worthy to bring somebody to judgment? So let me open your books. So therefore, that also is not proper. Comes the Gemara and says, De Amar Rabbi, what's that, Kisa there? That would be Rabbi Hanan. Kol Moser din al havero. Anybody that brings the judgment to God, which means he says, God is going to punish this person. I'm going to put it in God's hands. God will punish him. And he says, I want God to punish this person for what he did. Instead of taking him to a regular bet din, hu ne'enash te'ila. So the person that brings the judgment to God, he gets punished first. Shnei emar, v'tomer Sarai el Avram. Sarai tells Avram Abinu, Hamasi alecha. Sarah was angry because after Avram married Hagar, Hagar gave birth right away, or she got pregnant right away, and then Hagar started to mistreat Sarah, as if to tell her that I'm better than you. You were married for so many years, you couldn't have a child from Avraham. I'm married right away, I had a child. So therefore she started to mistreat. So Sarah had claims against Avraham. So Sarah says, I'm angry at you. You brought Hagar into the house now, and now she's mistreating me. Uchtiv, and the Pasuk says, and the Pasuk also says what? That she tells Avram, Yishpot Hashem b'ni u'b'necha. That she says, God should be the judge between me and you. So she put it in God's hands to see who's right. What happened as a result that she put the judgment in God's hands? It says Avraham went and eulogized Sarah, meaning Sarah died before Avraham as a result. Really, Sarah and Avraham were supposed to die the same time. Avraham was supposed to live to 175 years, and Sarah was supposed to live to 165, because she was 10 years younger than Avraham. They were supposed to die at the same age, but instead, she died at 127 years. Which means she died 38 years early because of the fact that she brought her judgment to God. So you see, Moseh Din al Chavero is not a good thing. See, Sarah died many years earlier as a result. Rabbi Yitzchak continues, Dale Devarim, four things, Mekar'in Gezad Dino Shel Adam. There are four things that can break a person's judgment. A person has a bad judgment, the judgment can get ripped up based for these four things. Eluen, Tzedakah, one that gives charity, Tzedakah, one that prays, Shinui Hashem, changing one's name, Vishinui Ma'aseh, changing one's deeds. The Gemara is going to prove each one. Tzedakah, Dichti, Vustakah, like the Pasuk says, Tzedakah saves a person from death. Tzedakah, we know praying, that the people called out to God in their time of need, and God redeems them and removes them from their troubles. How do we know the changing of the name? Sarai Ishtecha, God tells Avram, your wife Sarai, lo tikra et shema Sarai, ki Sara shema. God changed the name to Sarah, and then what does it say? Uchtiv, uberachti ota, I'm going to bless her, v'gam natati mimena lecha ben. The God gave her now a child. Now the concept of Shinui Hashem is not just a magic that you change the name, but the point is that when you change a name that inspires a person, you're a different person now. You're the person that sinned, that was somebody else. Now you're a different person. You're starting from scratch again, and therefore we can judge a new judgment. Or for that matter, as if to say in the Shamayim that the bad judgment was set on this person. That person doesn't exist anymore. Now we have a new name. And therefore it is beneficial to break the judgment. Shinui ma'aseh, the changing of one's deeds, dichtiv. It says by the city of Nineveh, Vayara Elohim et ma'aseh, God saw their deeds. In the city of Nineveh, there was a judgment that they should all die. It's the book of Yonah that we read on Yom Kippur. So God saw their good deeds. So it was the deeds, the actions, the shirim ma'aseh uchtiv, vayinahayim ha'elohim al-ra'ash, v'dibel la'asot. So God changed his mind, so to speak, and did not destroy the city. Why? Because of their deeds. La'em ve'lo asani, did not destroy. V'yesh romnim, and someone would say, af shinui makom, where a person changes his place. Which means when a person lives in a certain place and he changes his place, that's also an ability that God will rip the judgment up. The logic in that is when a person goes, lives outside his normal habitat, in his normal place, he becomes humbled. Because in the new place, the people don't know him, and he feels a little out of place. So that already, that humility that a person has, is able to cause the judgment to be broken. Tichtiv, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha ma'asecha. Right? God told Avram, change your place, leave from where you are. Ve'adad, now what does it say? Ve'ayischa. Then God promises to make Avraham the father of a great nation. So you see, he changed his place, and then the Gezar Din was broken. V'idach. So now the Gemara says, according to the Bitzchak, you only quoted four. Right? He said that what? There's four things that are Korea Gezar Din. Tzedakah, Tzedakah, Shinui Hashem, Shinui Ma'aseh. How come it doesn't include Shinui Makom? Gemara Zahu, Zekuta, De'eretz Israel, Hu, De'ahanyaleh. He says, no. The fact that God told Avraham to leave to Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't the Shinui Makom that did it, it was the Zechut of Eretz Yisrael. He told him to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the Zechut of Eretz Yisrael stood for Avraham Abinu, and that's what changed his mazal. Comes the Gemara and says, "Be'amar Rav Yitzchak, Hayav Adam Nakbil Pene Rabo Baregel." A person has an obligation to visit his rabbi on the holiday. Shnei Emar, Pasuk says. This Pasuk is referring to the Shunamit. That was a righteous lady, and she was going to see Elisha. Her child was sick, and therefore she went to Elisha to get a blessing. So it says, her husband asks her, why are you going to the prophet today? Lo chodesh, it's not Rosh Chodesh, velo Shabbat, and it's not Shabbat. Implying what? Mechlal de bechodesh veShabbat, evayela lemezal. Implying that what? That on Rosh Chodesh and Shabbat, you have to go visit your rabbi. So if you have to visit your rabbi on Rosh Chodesh, which is a minor holiday, certainly you'd have to visit your rabbi on the major holidays, on the Regalim. So from here we learn what? That it's a mitzvah to visit the rabbi on the holiday. Ve'amar v'yitzchak, hayab adam l'taher. It's an obligation of a person to purify himself in a mikveh before the holiday. Because the pasuk says, "Ubne bilatam lo tigau." Torah says that Jewish people should not touch nevelot. Nevelah is an animal that was not slaughtered properly. It's a carcass, and it exudes tumah. So the Torah says, "Ubne bilatam," their carcass do not touch. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, how do we learn it from the Natan Otegah? What is that teaching me about purifying myself on the holiday? So the Gemara says, Tanya Rebecha, we have a writer to support us. It says, do not touch the carcass of a dead animal. Yachod you Yisrael Musarim al Magan Nevela. What do you mean? Are Jewish people obligated to refrain from Tum'ah? Only Kohanim are obligated to refrain from Tum'ah. There's no obligation that a Jewish person should refrain from Tum'ah. Tamud Amar Emor al Kohanim B'nei Aharon. God says, speak to the Kohanim, the children of Aharon. B'nei Aharon Musarim. B'nei Yisrael and Musarim. Only the children of Aharon are commanded against being Mitame themselves, not the children of Yisrael. So the question then is, what does it mean that Torah is telling me don't touch carcasses? A Jewish person, a non-Kohen, is allowed to touch a carcass. The Gemara says, "Uma tumah hamura." When it comes to tumah, how about say the tumah of a dead person? Kohanim muzharim. Kohen cannot, let's say, go into a house where there's a med. Yisrael ena muzharim. But Yisrael can, which means even when it comes to serious tumah, Yisrael can mitame himself. Tumah kala, lo kol sheken. A light tumah, like this tumah of a nevela, although most of Yisrael can mitame himself. So what is the Torah mean when it says, ubin neblatam lo tigao, don't touch a nevela? So the Gemara says, elamat tamu davar ubin neblatam lo tigao, baregel. It means on the regel, on the holiday. So may we learn that what? That yeah, all year long, no problem for a Jewish person to become Tameh. However, on the holiday, the Jew, the Israel should refrain himself from coming in contact with Tum'ah. So from here we learn that one should purify himself before the regel, before the holiday. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rav Kospedai, Amar Rav Yohanan. Shilosha sefarim niftachim b'Rosh Hashanah. There are three books that are opened up on Rosh Hashanah. Ehad shel Reshaim Gemurim, one for the totally wicked. Ve'ehad shel Tzadikim Gemurim, one for the totally righteous. Ve'ehad shel Benonim, and one for the mediocre, for the middle people. Tzadikim Gemurim, the totally righteous, nechtavim v'nechtamim le'altar le'chayim. They're written immediately. Le'altar means immediately for life. On Rosh Hashanah already, they're written, inscribed in the book of life. Reshaim Gemurim, the total Reshaim, nechtavim v'nechtamim le'altar le'mita. They're written on Rosh Hashanah for death. Benonim. However, the middle, the people that are benonim, that are pending, tiluim ve'omdim, so they pending Mirosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim until Yom Kippur. Zachu, if they have the zichut, if God has mercy on them, nechtavim nechayim on Kippur, they're written for life. Lo zachu nechtavim nemita, and they are written for death. Amar of Abin, Me'ekera, where do we learn this from? Because the Pasuk says there's three levels. One, the Pasuk says, Yimahu Mesefer Chayim, Ve'im Sadikim Al Yikatevu. So the Gemara's Doresh, Yimahu Mesefer, they should be erased from the book, Zesifran Shal Reshaim. Who's erased? Those are the Reshaim, Gemurim. Chayim, the book of life is Yimahu Mesefer Chayim. The word Chayim in the Pasuk says, Zesifran Shal Sadikim. That's the book of the Sadikim. And then the third part of the pasuk, Ve'im Sadikim Al Yikatevu, and they're not going to be written. Who's not written on Rosh Hashanah? The Benonim, because they are pending. Zesifran Shel Benonim. So that's one derash. How do you know there are three books? Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Me'acha, Ve'im Ayin Me'heni Na Mesifrecha Shel Katafta. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if you're not going to forgive the Jewish people, erase me from the book that you wrote. So Me'heni Na, erase me, Zesifran Shel Reshaim. That's the book of Reshaim, the book of erasure. Mesifrecha, your book, that's the good book. Zesifran Shel Sadikim. Asher Katafta, that you wrote. Zesifran Shel Benonim. That's referring to the Benonim, the mediocre, the middle, people that are pending. Now, We must just ask us an obvious question over here, that what does it mean that the tzaddikim are judged for life? Many times we see tzaddikim that they don't get life, they die during the course of the year. And the sha'im, for that matter, that are judged immediately for death, so what does that mean? We see that they lived in the course of the year. So explanation is that the judgment is not only for life in this world, but it's also life in the next world. And therefore, when it says that they get mitah, could be yes, they're going to get life in this world in order to get punished in the next world. And the tzaddikim that are judged for life, that means that could be they might get a little punishment in this world, but they'll get ultimate life in the next world. Comes the Gemara and continues. One more point. Tanya. Bechamai Omrim, Bechamai says, Gimel Kitot Hen Leyom Adin. There are three classes on the day of judgment. Now, as she says, this is actually referring to the time of judgment that's going to take place at Tihayat HaMitim, which means there's the judgment when a person goes through every year, that's Rosh Hashanah. Then, as she says, there's a judgment that happens when the soul is resurrected. Now they judge him if he's worthy to go to Olam Abba or not. So that's the judgment he's talking about now. The judgment that's going to take place at the time of the resurrection. Tosfot also says in the bottom, Leyom Adin Kishiyu HaMitim. And he says, even though they were judged already when they died, there's another judgment when you die if you're going to go to Gan Eden or Geinam. But after a person's sentence in Geinam, so they judge him again at the time of the resurrection, is he going to be zochet to the next stage of Olam Haba? So it could be the Geinam wasn't enough, so he's not going to get Olam Haba. Maybe the Geinam was enough, so they can't get Olam Haba. So there's a judgment regarding Olam Haba at the time of. So the Gemara says there's three classes: the Hatch of Sadiqim Gemurim, the Hatch of the Shaim Gemurim, the Hatch of Benonim. Same classes. Sadiqim Gemurim, Mechtemim, Taim, the Ata, the Hayat Olam. The Sadiqim Gemurim don't get a quick judgment straight to Olam Abba. The Shaim Gemurim, the one that still remains, the Shaim Gemurim, that did not get Kapara, Mechtemim, Mechtemim, the Ata, the Gehinam. They go straight down to Gehinam. Shnei Ema, Verabim, Miyashne, Admat, Afar, Yakitsu. That many of the people that were sleeping in the afar are going to get up. Ele lehaya olam. Some people are going to go to eternal world. Ve'ele leharpot the draon olam. They're going to go down to a draon olam, to destruction. Benonim yordim the gehinam. Now the middle people, the people that are pending, well, they'll get sent down to gehinam. However, umitzafsefim ve'olim, but they float. They cry in gehinam to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they float, so to speak, up, and they can get saved. So they go to Geinam again for temporary time, and then they can come and be saved. Shnei Emah, the pasuk says, "Vaveti et ha-shilishit." I'll bring the third group, Ba'ish, into fire, usraftim, and I will purge them, I will clean them, kesrof et ha-kesef, like cleaning or purging the silver from its impurities, ubahantim kibchon et ha-zav, and I will clean them like the purification of the gold from its impurities. Hu yikra b'shmi, he's going to call my name, meaning he's going to cry from Geinam, and I'm going to answer him. Regarding the third group, the Benonim, Hana said, Hashem memit umhayeh. God is memit. He causes the person to die. Umhayeh. He brings Tehiyat Emetim. Morit She'ol. And after Tehiyat Emetim, some people are going to go back to Sheol to Geinam. However, V'ya'al. But he's going to come up. So that shows us what? That Borei Olam is going to save the Benonim from Geinam. Betilel Omrim, Verav Chesed. The Torah says, Verav Chesed. God has an abundance of Chesed. It means, Matekel HaPe Chesed. God tips the scales in their favor. Which means the Betilel learns, no. Ho'ilu Mechsa Al Mechsa. These Benonim that are 50-50, God tilts the scale in their favor, and they don't go to Geinam at all. So that's a machloka between Bet Shammai and Betilel. Do the Benonim go to Geinam? Bet Shammai says they do, but through their prayers they can get out. Betilel says they don't. That through the fact that they're 50-50, God is Rav Chesed. He tips the scale to the majority Chesed, and therefore they are saved. Ba'alehem amar David, and regarding these people, David and Melech said, Ahavti ki yishma Hashem et kol et koli. God, the person says, God, I'm happy that you heard my voice. Ba'alehem amar David, kol ha'parasha kula, daloti veli Yoshia. And all that chapter in Tehillim was said, how God saves these people. And who are these people? Daloti, that even though I was impoverished, meaning I don't have majority mitzvot, veli Yoshia, still you saved me. Why? Because Rav Chesed, God is Rav Chesed. In any event, you see over here machloket betshemay betiril regarding the binonim, regarding what's going to happen after tirat hamitim, and of course this gemara continues, and we'll discuss it in the next daf. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, amen ve'amen.